Fani Willis speaks out, saying that the train is coming against President Trump.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Jordan is joining us remote right now. He's traveling, but he is live. Will Haynes in the studio as well. We have some updates on the Fani Willis situation. Will, there was some sort of statement made. And of course, that statement is mapped with threats and so on.
Right, and I think we should play it right off the bat here so we can get Jordan's take on it as well. This is, as we know, that the judge, Judge McAfee, gave a certificate of immediate review to the defendants that requested it, and when they cited that the court found an appearance of impropriety and an odor of mendacity lingered in the case, and they were using the judge's own words there. But CNN caught up with Fani Willis at an event, and when they asked her about how the case is moving forward, this was her response. Let's go ahead.
No, my team's been continuing to work, and I think the media, and especially organizations like your own, have been paying attention. All while that was going on, we were writing responsive briefs. We were still doing the case in the way that it needed to be done. I don't feel like we've been slowed down at all. I do think that there are efforts to slow down this train, but the train is coming.
Jordan.
Yeah, the train is coming if President Trump doesn't win on appeal at the appellate court and then the Georgia Supreme Court. So that train has a lot of steps to go through before it even starts back on the tracks. And Logan, I really do believe there is a good chance, not 100%, a good chance that ultimately Fani Willis does not become the DA and her whole department gets thrown out of this case. Now, you never know what courts are going to do, but these Georgia courts, we've already had her head attorney, she specifically chose to handle the most complex part of this case, tossed out because of what Will said, the impropriety and the odor. And guess what? We all know this. As long as Fani Willis is conducting this case, Logan, the odor is getting stronger and stinkier. And just listen to that statement again, and it reeks of someone who needs to be taken out.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you what your thoughts are. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Also, Jordan, maybe you can lead people through. We've got 2 minutes here just quickly. And we'll do as we get back of what that process is. When you say there's a good chance that she won't be doing it, I think we should talk about what that looks like, how that could even happen. I think people, our audience probably thinks we are too far gone into that being even an option. Yeah. But maybe you can build that case for us when we get back from a break.
Give a little tease.
A little tease of it?
Yeah.
The ACLJ is going to be involved. So
all right.
We'll tease that.
Well, we'll discuss that in just a second. We are in the final days of our Life and Liberty Drive, literally the final 4 days Life and Liberty Drive for the month of March. And we're expanding our efforts in our global fight for freedom. Biggest challenges we've ever faced right now, and your support makes our work possible. Right now, all we're asking to do is go to ACLJ.org, and all of your donations are doubled right now. We can't continue these fights without your support. If you are able to, please become also an ACLJ champion. Consider that. What that is someone who is essentially a recurring donor, someone who says every month, I will automatically support the work of the ACLJ. Obviously, you can cancel at any time. Help us hit that stretch goal. You know, our goal was to have 20,000 ACLJ champions by the end of the month. And what we found out was not only did pass that within 2 weeks, we said, let's set a stretch goal. That stretch goal was an extra 500 people, extra 500 champions. We are only 164 more champions to go. Be a part of that right now. There are more people watching on YouTube that could literally set us over that goal. We appreciate that. Become a champion and fight along us each and every month. Go to ACLJ.org. Have your tax deductible donations doubled right now or become a champion. We are going to break down in the next segment how we can get involved in this, and also what could happen to change the trajectory of the Fani Willis case. Again, phone lines are open. If you got questions, we got legal experts ready for you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, continue to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Continuing discussion on, you know, we brought up the potential situation where Fani Willis would be removed from this case. You'd have a new, brand new legal team. And I posed a question to Jordan. I said, well, how would that be possible? And he said, let me tease and tell you how it'll be coming up here in the next segment. So here we are, Jordan. I'll let you take it from here.
So President Trump's legal team, as well as outside legal organizations like ours, can file briefs because you're allowed to appeal the decision by the trial court judge. The trial court judge who did say that the special counsel Fani Willis brought in, the boyfriend or whatever we want to call him, he had to go because of the impropriety and the odor, but that Fani Willis and her office were still okay, which doesn't make any logical sense. So it gets a, you're allowed to appeal that to the Court of Appeals. You have 10 days from the order. So next week, I think, is when we'll be filing our brief alongside President Trump's team supporting the removal of Fani Willis for just all of those facts that we've considered. That taking the special counsel out who caused this entire problem for Fani Willis is not enough. It, again, the issues of impropriety, the odor that this is not right and that this trial is politically motivated, the money surrounding it, the almost $800,000 he received, that this is wrong. You can't halfway correct the problem. That's what the judge did. And I think he was nervous about taking a DA out who he has to work with all the time. So now it goes to a court of appeals. They're not nervous about taking Fani Willis out. That has nothing to do with her. They don't regularly interact with her the same way. So you go to the Georgia Court of Appeals. And if you don't win there, you can still go to the Georgia Supreme Court. So for her to think that the trains are rolling, absolutely not. But I want everyone to understand the ACLJ is going to be involved in each part of these steps to try and attempt. And we believe we're right. But we've got to convince the judges and maybe ultimately the justices of the Georgia Supreme Court that we're right, that Fani Willis has to go if the special counsel had to go to correct this problem. And if she goes, the entire DA's office goes, and a new DA gets appointed, and I don't think this case ever gets restarted again for any of the defendants, including, of course, President Trump.
And Jordan, I want to get your take on another bite that came out of DA Fani Willis over when she spoke with CNN. And I want to give the context once again for the audience to make sure that when they hear this soundbite, what the context of what reality is. Because remember, the judge found an appearance of impropriety. He found an odor of mendacity, which is an odor of lies that continued to linger in the case, as well as the speech she gave in the church while all this is going on, he said was legally improper. So that's the context of the reality we're living in when she gives this bite by 21 to CNN. Let's take a listen.
I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. Let's say it for the record. I'm not embarrassed by anything I've done. You know, I guess my greatest crime is I had a relationship with a man, but that's not something that I find embarrassing in any way. And I know that I have not done anything that's illegal.
Jordan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this idea, again, that I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. Listen, you had your specially chosen RICO specialist who had no expertise in RICO, who happened to be at least someone you were dating, if not an official boyfriend, and you paid him almost $800,000, and he had never done a case like this in his life. So you took $800,000 from the taxpayers of Georgia and Fulton County, and by the way, federal taxpayers, because these DA offices get your federal tax dollars too, so all of us, whether you live in Georgia or not. And if that happens, guess what? You've still got issues surrounding you, and that's why it's going to be appealed. If there were no issues that were significant surrounding her, none of these attorneys would file these appeals. You just want to move on because you'd think, you know what, we're going to have to go up against Fani Willis. If we really think we're going to 100% lose these appeals, we just need to drop this and move on and fight hard against her. But because the judge went halfway, the Court of Appeals, I think, is going to say, how can you do that? How can you say this guy that isn't really an official, you know, elected official, by taking him out somehow changes the fact that the decision maker, Fani Willis, has now been cleansed? Absolutely not. She needs to go. The ACLJ believes that. You'll see it in our briefs, and that's why we want your support. I mean, Logan, it's a critical time to support the ACLJ because we're going to be in this battle to get Fannie Willis off this case legitimately. She did this. It's not just because she's a Democrat prosecutor and we don't like that she's prosecuting Republicans or President Trump. She's done something wrong in the system of law. And to preserve our law, our legal system, equal justice under law, we have to remove the bad actors from the government. She's one of those bad actors, and the ACLJ is going to fight it at the Court of Appeals and the Georgia Supreme Court and anywhere else we need to go. And we're going to need your resources to do it. You donate right now at ACLJ.org, and you double your impact through our Life and Liberty Challenge. And if you can make a monthly recurring contribution at ACLJ.org, be at the tip of the spear. Make that contribution today, because I'm telling you, folks, we're right on the edge of getting this case. I wouldn't say dismissed, but I'd say finished.
Yeah, there's nothing I would like more than to never say the words Fannie Willis again, specifically on this broadcast. I feel like it is the odor of mendacity that is a part of it. But it's also, I mean, it is part of the breaking news story. It is part of the election season. What's happening? We can't not cover it. But if this could be headed towards the end, I think it'd be better for the country. It'd be better for all of us. And look, that doesn't discount some of the amazing work we do here at the ACLJ. We're going to talk about those coming up here soon. We've had some pretty big wins, some pretty big movements internationally. We're going to discuss that, some of the great work that we do here. Sure, we report what's going on. We have the news. We're going to cover all of those things. But we also have to tell you about our work right now. And we're going to discuss those. I don't want to tease you too much, but there's some really positive movements. There are things happening that are cases that you've heard about for 5-6 years that we've been a part about. These aren't fast processes. Trust me, I wish we lived in a country where the legal system could work fast, but even in other nations, it's even a whole lot worse. But we have teams there ready to help. And all I'm going to ask you to do right now is we discuss what the ACLJ is doing. Let's go to ACLJ.org. We are in that final 4 days of our Life and Liberty Drive, and our efforts globally have been some of the biggest challenges. But look, there are glimmers of hope. There are big success stories that have happened and continue to happen. It's some big ones that have just happened recently. And I think we're going to talk about those a little bit later. We're also going to be joined by Rick Grinnell later on to talk about some of the news coming out of MSNBC. So have some fun there. As they, for, you know, shocker, they have hired a conservative and the other hosts are not too thrilled about it, but we'll discuss that. I just wanted to tease a little bit what's going on. But Will, you got something.
That's right. And Jordan, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, but I did want to get your take on this because we had a lot of people watching yesterday. You were in meetings and had other things going on yesterday, so we didn't get to get your take on this. But I wanted to know your thoughts on the move by the appeals court in New York to lower the bond amount from the $454 million that he would have to post and able to appeal, but dropping that down to $175-ish million in order for Donald Trump to appeal that egregious ruling that came out of the lower-level court.
Sure, and I've been in meetings with Senator Tommy Tuberville, of course, a very conservative, great member of the U.S. Senate, and I know, Will, one of your favorite senators is the former coach of Auburn. In fact, he's the only senator I know that I've never called senator yet. He goes by coach, and that's what he goes by. And you know, just getting the thoughts, this was a victory for President Trump, a huge victory. Now, for a lot of people, $175 million would still be a lot. But when you're facing $500 million-plus and we're having trouble figuring out the bond, that weight has now been that lifted off President Trump's shoulders and his legal team's shoulders. And I think there are two things at play here, both Will and Logan. One, I think the New York court realized if we keep doing this, we are going to lose businesses. We've all been talking about it. It's been all in the press. I mean, everybody has been thinking, how can they move their assets out of New York if there's going to be politically motivated prosecutions with these crazy numbers and seizures? So that's part one, by reducing the bond. Part two is that it wasn't fair. It was absurd. It was ridiculous. It was a Trump derangement syndrome sized bond requirement. And it gives you a glimmer of hope that there is still some, I guess, sanity within these blue state court systems.
Yeah, absolutely. We are headed to break here in just 1 minute. Again, I just want to tell you, and look, it's the last 4 days. We're on Holy Week here. We really could use your support. I'm not going to just, you know, pretend that that's not true. Right now, we are in the end here of our Life and Liberty Drive. You've heard me talk about it. You're going to hear me talk about it again because the work is that important. So I'm going to ask you right now, when we're in this break, go to ACLJ.org. Scan the code that's on the screen if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or Facebook. Scan that code. Make a donation. Support the work of the ACLJ. All donations are doubled right now, or you can become an ACLJ champion. We understand some of you can make a one-time donation. We appreciate that more than you know. Especially right now, we really appreciate it. But if you become an ACLJ champion, you're saying, I'm committed to this fight. You're going to join us in that fight. But again, tax-deductible donations right now are doubled. Just go to ACLJ.org. Become a champion. We're trying to hit over 20,500. I think right now we are pretty close. We are only, we're under 164 away from hitting that goal. So do that right now. I'd love to have a better number here, a better number I can report by the end of the show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We do have a big, you know, success story currently out of the ACLJ, but the work continues. You know, you'd hope that you'd have a full-fledged victory, if you will, but there's always, you know, especially when we're dealing in the international stage, there's always some caveats to that. But we do have a major update in a case that you may remember us talking about many years ago. This is one that started 4, 5, 6 years ago now, that we started our representation. And these, as we said, these cases, specifically these other nations, can take a very long time. But Jordan, as somebody who's worked on that case, I think you should take it from here.
Yes, we've had a great victory. It's not 100% complete, and that's why we're going to be careful right now. But let me say, you may remember Pastor Saw in China. He's been imprisoned in China for 7 years. We became his attorneys about 5 years ago when all other kind of avenues of him trying to get released and his family trying to use those were exhausted, and they came to us because of our expertise in getting individuals like this released. He is a permanent U.S. resident. His family are U.S. citizens based in the United States. He was imprisoned because he had Bibles on him, basically, and that was enough and serious enough of a crime that China wanted to put him away indefinitely. I can now announce to you today, he has been released. He is still in China, so he has not yet been reunited with his family in the United States. We've got information up at ACLJ.org. This is a great first victory, but the full victory, so be in prayer right now, be in serious prayer, that now that he has been released, that he will get quickly onto a plane and get out of Chinese airspace and be reunited with his family in the United States, hopefully soon, maybe is at the U.S. Embassy and receives protections there until he gets on that flight. Logan, I want to use this as an example. It's very serious when people have been imprisoned that long because it's tough for the whole family. 7-year process. It's going to be a tough even reunification because you had to, you know, go on with your life and you keep, you know, 7 years a long time. The ACLJ doesn't just work on quick hitters, like filing the appeal in the Georgia Court of Appeals to get Fannie Willis removed. When we dedicate to fight to get someone released, so long as that family continues to ask for our representation, that representation continues at no cost. And I think this is a great example to show that it may have taken 5 years, but for all of those 5 years, we worked just as hard as we did on the first day, the first year, and the second day, and we're working just as hard right now until he's actually out of China and home with his family. So this, folks, is one of those key reasons I know many of you support the work of the ACLJ. You donate to the ACLJ because of the issue of religious persecution. The cases we work on in Pakistan, the cases we work on all over the world, in India, we can't even list them all, Sudan, Iran. But this, Logan, in China, this is a big first victory. I don't want to get into too many specific details until he's out of the United States, but I want our donors, our supporters to know that it's because of your resources that Pastor Saw is no longer in a Chinese prison and is likely going to be, unless China's not playing fair here, and we want to be careful, likely will be reunited with his family in the United States soon. And again, it's because of you, the donors to the ACLJ. And you stood with us for a 7-year battle, 5 years of which we were his leading attorneys.
And Jordan, to your point, when we've seen many of these cases, because this is an active practice area within the ACLJ and ECLJ as well, is that when we take on these cases, we know that they aren't going to be quick hitters, as you said. We know that the odds are they are going to be very long, detailed, expensive in many cases, taxing on time and even emotional and mental capabilities for the attorneys that work on this, because they are so emotionally driven. It's not a political fight here in the United States. These are human beings, often persecuted specifically for their faith, and that's the reason they're in prison. And also the time length, even though it may not be on paper a death sentence, in many cases they are, as we work in Pakistan. It's an actual death sentence. But sometimes the length of time and the conditions can equate to a death sentence if the ACLJ isn't there fighting along the way to make sure they are treated under humanitarian law. This case specifically, we went to the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, like we did with Shahzad in Pakistan, and got a favorable ruling we announced last week. We got a favorable ruling in this one. And a lot of times it takes us at the UN fighting for the human rights, even if we can't get them released right away, but that these nations who either get aid from or utilize the UN themselves for their own purposes go, whoa, we're on notice. We have to make sure that we don't have a huge humanitarian violation going forward. And that's part of the work as well.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of our work, and Will talks about the kind of expensive work that goes on behind the scenes, we can't talk about. You know, this is like meeting with specific countries and their diplomats, whether it's in Geneva or New York, that are assisting us very much under the radar, you know, making calls into China. Maybe they're a closer ally. We've worked with them before, so they trust us to know that we'll keep that confidential. I mean, we do all of that work, and I'd love to be able to tell you about every piece of it, because I think you'd be very impressed. But what's more important, I think you understand, is the client being safe and ultimately the client being released. And so on these Christian persecution cases, again, they are long, they are expensive, but Lord knows with the work that we do, whether it's the pro-life work or the persecuted Christians, I think, Logan and Will, it's some of the most important work we do, is to protect human life for people who are being persecuted just because of their faith.
Yep, absolutely. And that is why it is a really important time to support the work of the ACLJ. We're headed towards our second half hour. We got Rick Grinnell. We got others joining us as well. It's going to be a packed broadcast. Harry Hutchinson, we got a lot happening in the second half hour of this broadcast. But right now, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ by going to aclj.org. If you're just joining us now and you are here to learn more about what happened in the Fannie Willis situation, we'll restate that coming up at the beginning of the next segment. So stay tuned for that. We'll reset totally so you understand what we're talking about. I know a lot of you are just tuning in, or you're watching us on YouTube and you saw a title, so stay tuned. We'll do that. Right now, though, I got a minute and a half until we go to that half hour break. Some of you on local terrestrial radio lose us at that half hour, so I got to spend this minute and a half to tell you we're in the final 4 days of our Life and Liberty Drive. We are, as George just said, experiencing amazing growth, but we also are continually in the fight for individuals like Pastor Saul, like so many people out there. You may hear us talk about these big global news stories, but there are these individual people, including you, by the way, if you're listening right now and you need legal help, it's within our scope of work. All you have to do is go to aclj.org/help. You fill out a form and it's immediately assigned to someone on our legal staff, to a lawyer. It's not going to a call center with 500,000 people who are going to ask you some random questionnaire. It goes straight to a lawyer who will help you out if it's within our scope. So do that right now, too, if you need support. If you have a situation like this and you think you need ACLJ support, do that. But we can't offer those services for free. We can't offer those services at no cost without, and we do, by the way, without your support. So you join, become an ACLJ champion today, which is someone who says, I'm going to be an ACLJ monthly supporter. Or make an individual tax-deductible donation, because right now, in this month of March, all of them are doubled. That means there's another donor ready to match that donation on the other side. So if you give $20, it's effectively giving the organization $40. You know, and you can do the math from there. 40 becomes 80, so on and so on. We'll be back with second half hour of Seculo. We only have a 1 minute break right here. So if you're watching online, just stick with us for 58 seconds and we'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. If you're just joining us for this second half hour, welcome. If you are brand new to the broadcast, I'd encourage you, if you're watching on one of the social media platforms, hit subscribe, hit like, do whatever you need to do to make sure you're engaged. You get this broadcast each and every day. We wanted to open up the second half hour resetting what was going on. If you saw that headline, it said Fani Willis has spoken. And what she has said is ominous, it's threatening, but maybe there's actually a pathway in the future. Let's hear from Fani Willis.
No, my team's been continuing to work, and I think the media and especially organizations like your own, I've been paying attention. All while that was going on, we were writing responsive briefs. We were still doing the case in the way that it needed to be done. I don't feel like we've been slowed down at all. I do think that there are efforts to slow down this train, but the train is coming.
The train is coming, says Fani Willis. The train may be leading through the appeals court and ultimately to the Georgia Supreme Court, Jordan. Which train track is she on right now?
Yeah, right now she's on a train track to the Georgia Court of Appeals, who are going to look at whether or not she also should be tossed from this case, like her partner and specially chosen special counsel, who we all spent taxpayer dollars on, of $800,000. So the judge went halfway in cleaning up this case, but I don't think he cleaned this whole case up. The impropriety, the odor of mendacity, as people said, is just, it just reeks. And I think it kind of reeks even more when you hear statements like that. Like, that's not how prosecutors are supposed to talk. Just be serious. It's not about, like, the train's going to get going. But here's what we know. The train is rapidly going to the Georgia Court of Appeals. And it's not a guarantee, but they could take her off the case because of the evidence provided easily. I mean, there's enough evidence there. And that means her whole office is off. A new DA gets appointed. And that DA could decide to drop all of this. It's case over. And even if she wins at the Georgia Court of Appeals, guess what? You can appeal it to the Georgia Supreme Court. Now, again, that's not 100% that you're going to win, but I want everyone listening to understand this right now about what the ACLJ is going to do. Because you may say, okay, what can the ACLJ do with this matter? The ACLJ, which has a lot of expertise actually in Georgia law, and especially in the kind of DA system, prosecutorial system, because of that, will be filing at the Georgia Court of Appeals to have Fani Willis removed and putting those arguments forward. And then if we need to, we'll be filing at the Georgia Supreme Court to have Fani Willis removed, because we want to preserve the system of and the rule of law in the United States as best we can. And we are seeing it, I think, used against President Trump in the worst way possible. It's supposed to be equal justice under law, and it's not. Now, what we saw in New York was good. The fact that there were some clear minds there to remove, you know, lower that bond to something, I guess, reasonable, other than, you know, instead of $500 million, because I think they're worried that if New York is seen as an anti-business city, which it is the kind of city of business and banks and financing, that it would destroy New York, which is already going through a tough time. I think here in Georgia, when you get to the Court of Appeals, these are not judges that have to be as concerned with Fani Willis and having to deal with her on cases all the time and her team all the time. They're going to look at the facts. And Logan, if we can win at the Court of Appeals, she might appeal to the Georgia Supreme Court, and we'll be ready to fight there. So I want the ACLJ members and donors to know, we are going to be fighting this until the end to do everything we can to get Fani Willis removed from this case. There's never any guarantees, but it, as we said, like with Pastor Saw, we fight until there's no more fight left to be done.
All right. You can join us right now in the fight as well. Become a ACLJ champion right here. We're final days of our Life and Liberty Drive. We're trying to hit that goal of 500 stretch goal champions. And Will, how far are we away?
We are 155 away from hitting that goal right as of this moment.
All right, 155 champions away. There's 10,000 of you watching on social media collectively. We can do that. We can do that with your support right now. Go to ACLJ.org. That's, by the way, becoming a monthly donor at any level. That's it. $5 or up. You pick whatever you're comfortable with. We appreciate that. Scan the code that's on your screen. We got Rick Grinnell joining us in the next segment. Stay tuned. We got some breaking news out of MSNBC. It's going to be a fun one. Stay tuned for that. Move a little bit away from Fonnie Willis. Let's have some fun and discuss what's going on in the liberal mainstream media meltdown. Welcome back to Secular. Rick Grinnell's joining us right now, and Will, we got to discuss this. This comes off of the heels of MSNBC. You know, I guess you can't even hire a punching bag anymore if you are on the left. You can't even hire someone on the other side to essentially say the things you know that will fire up your viewers, because that, just to have someone on the other side, that's just unacceptable. This comes from Chuck Todd, who, by the way, is one of the ones that pretends to not have that bias. Right. One of the ones doing, you know, meet the press, trying to be the straight newsman that's always, you know, you're giving it to you, giving you the facts and not giving his opinions. Let's hear from Chuck Todd.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her?
All right, let's clear up what this is, what they're even referring to, because I realize I didn't set that up all too well. They are talking about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDowell. And that McDaniel. Yeah, I got it right the first time.
You did.
Got it right the first time. Ronna McDaniel, who, by the way, hasn't necessarily been the favorite of a lot of people for quite some time. But that's even just the concept of having a Republican to look at, Rick, just too far.
Look, I've watched NBC and MSNBC for a couple of hours pretty much every week. I try to look and see what they're saying. They don't have dissenting voices on. To go on, even if you're a Republican that goes on, you have to hate Trump and you have to say that Joe Biden is the better choice. So there's no dissent. There's no debate. Everybody agrees. And so I think Comcast, which owns NBC and owns MSNBC, has a real problem. If our viewers are paying Comcast in any way, they need to really question whether or not the Comcast news outlets, which won't allow conservative debate, conservative voices to have a debate, whether or not that's a good thing. I actually think it's part of the problem of journalism is that we can't have a debate. When I was growing up, my dad would say, you know, shut up and listen and you might learn something. And so I would sit at the dinner table and hear different viewpoints and then think about what does that mean to me and how do I respond? But there wasn't an idea that you wouldn't have a debate, and not having a debate is the Comcast way right now.
Rick, I think my favorite part of this story is the outrage that we see from Chuck Todd, and where he says he doesn't know if she was speaking for the RNC or if she was speaking for now on behalf of NBC, because that's, she don't want to mess up her contract, as if that is the end all be all, that they couldn't apply that standard to every single person on NBC staff, specifically Jen Psaki, who has a show on MSNBC called Inside with Jen Psaki. I don't know how many people watch it, but it's there if you want to check it out. But she was, right before that job, President Biden's White House spokesperson. So where was the outrage when they hired her from Chuck Todd saying, well, I believe she was speaking for Biden when she was the White House spokesperson, but now is she just going to say what now NBC wants to hear, which we know the obvious hypocrisy of it. But where is that outrage from Chuck Todd?
I mean, look, Will, your problem is that you're full of common sense. And that's not what news outlets in Washington legacy media are filled with these days. They are very comfortable with their hypocrisy. They're very comfortable with crushing dissent. And that's why they don't call out the Department of Justice going after Donald Trump or trying to kick him off ballots or trying to silence, crush, prosecute, and put him in jail. NBC is wildly supportive of that because they believe that the Democrats and the regime should be able to win and have this elite club without even thinking about middle America, common sense, conservative voices. They just want to crush dissent.
It is a wild time. You'd think even historically there would be at least a veil of, oh, well, we have all these other people. CNN's always had a random conservative, has always had a person on the other side. Even if you knew that person was there and getting paid to be the punching bag, as I said. It's also just an odd time. Like I said, you can't hire someone. And you also are making your audience, you're treating them as if they are unintelligent in the sense of saying, oh, this person was a spokesperson. Yeah, that was their job. Rick, you've been that. A lot of us have been that. Most people that work at a job understand that when they're representing their employer, they have to stick to the point of view of the employer. But to be like, we don't know, because she could have been lying to us because she was the spokesperson for the RNC.
The chairwoman.
What if she disagreed with the... That's part of the job. That's just societal work. That's just work in America. That's not some sort of conspiracy. And that's where it's just mind-blowing. It's not just the fact that this is television journalism. This is making the American people out to be idiots and not to be able to understand that there was a job of a spokesperson that was to, or a chair or a head, to speak the platform of the organization.
I think this is a huge problem for Comcast. Comcast does not want to be in the position of saying that they only have customers on the left. They have a lot of customers on the right, and yet they own two outlets that literally are unwelcoming to conservative voices, to conservative viewpoints. They won't even have a debate about the issues. If you watch NBC and MSNBC, it is literally everyone agreeing every single segment, every single hour. And Comcast owns this. Disney owns the ABC problems. And so I think that we have to understand that we have some power. Are you going to pay Comcast knowing that their news outlets are outlets that are hostile towards your viewpoint? I'm not.
Something to think about for a lot of people.
Rick, I did want to bring this up before the end of the segment, though, and this is a little bit of a shift. We saw yesterday the UN Security Council was able to pass a ceasefire resolution. This is a resolution that the United States had previously vetoed similar text to, I believe, three times. Now they abstained, allowing this ceasefire resolution to go through. Admiral Kirby tried to claim they didn't support the resolution because it was failed to condemn Hamas. But this is the Obama playbook, where if you abstain and let something go through, you still advance the agenda you secretly want, but are too afraid to say back at home. What's the state of U.S.-Israeli relations as it is today?
Yeah, look, what the tactic is to abstain is to play both sides of the fence, to not take a position, and to be really duplicitous. And there's nobody better than the Democrats at that. What I believe is that the United States government should not be going to the UN to get some sort of piece of paper resolution that just says, oh, this is what we think. Who cares what diplomats in New York think? None of them are on the ground. None of them are in the region. We still have all these hostages that are being held against their will by a terrorist organization for 171 days. And we've got diplomats on the Upper East Side of New York who are debating words on a piece of paper to say, you know, stop fighting. No one's listening to the UN. And this is why it becomes useless in many ways. And I spent 8 years at the UN, and it doesn't have to be useless. When there's US leadership rather than abstention, you can really get stuff done.
Rick, thanks for joining us today. I did want to take this time to let you know that we are in that last few days of our Life and Liberty Drive, and we could really use your support. We are only a few days away from the end. We are trying to hit that stretch goal of an extra 500 new ACLJ champions, and we're under 160 away. So you can be a part of that right now, aclj.org. Do that. We have a few calls coming in, a few that are being screened right now, and two lines open. So if you want to get on the air, this is a perfect time to call, speak your opinion, whether about the Fani Willis situation, whether it's what we talked about with Rick with MSNBC and how you are able to even rationalize the idea that we can't even have a conversation anymore if you're on the other side. Or anything else you want to chat about, we'll do our best to get to you. 1-800-684-3118. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are in those final 4 days of the Life and Liberty Drive. If you are able to, please become an ACLJ champion. That's a monthly supporter. Do that right now. Help us hit that stretch goal. Become an ACLJ champion to fight alongside us and each and every month. It's real easy opt-in. You can do that. But hey, if you can't do that or you don't feel comfortable with that, I totally understand. If you can make a donation of any kind, you can do that right now during this fundraising drive. All you have to do is go there, make a one-time single donation. Guess what? All those donations are doubled right now. All those donations are doubled. There's another person, another ACLJ member or an ACLJ champion ready to match those funds that come in from you. So again, all of them effectively do double the amount of work. All donations help us do double the amount of work and really set that baseline. We'll be right back on ACLJ or at ACLJ.org, on Facebook, on Rumble, on YouTube. We're able to be in all those places because of your support. We're able to put this broadcast all over the world. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Be right back, taking your phone calls. Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to take your phone calls right off the bat. I want to say President Biden is speaking right now about that just tragic accident. And they believe it to be an accident in Maryland. And obviously, just a wild thing to watch if you've seen the clips of the bridge collapsing. We're obviously all staying tuned to what he's saying. If there's anything that feels important, we'll let you know. But as of now, just trying to reassure people that this wasn't some kind of attack, that this was, they were able to issue a mayday and really try to stop as much life loss as possible. Again, still just a horrible thing to see. I didn't want you to think that we weren't, you know, covering it or looking at what's going on right now. But to move back to what we're talking about here, I do want to go ahead and kick off our phone calls. If you want to be on the air today, 1-800-684-3110. Will Haynes is here. Harry Hutchinson is here. Let's go to Annabelle, who's calling in California on line one. Annabelle, welcome.
Hi, great to talk with you, Will and Logan. Champion reporting for duty.
Thank you.
You know, I've been away in other countries on business. I've always been struck by the rampant corruption I witnessed in some. But now I'm literally broken by what's going on in our own judicial system, by the current administration's policy making a mockery of our magnificent country and its founding principles. My saving grace was to sit down and listen on my return to Seculo and its superlative team. It's a level of fighters that determine a victory, and I'm proud and humbled to support the ACLJ as a champion and be a part of that battle for life and justice. I implore others to join us, and God bless you all.
Annabelle, thank you always for calling and for your support and being a champion and really making that statement clear. I understand that people may think that these are callers that we pay to come on or do something like that, because those are the words that are really encouraging. But Annabelle is just one of our regular ACLJ champions who frequently calls in, and we appreciate that. That was 100% live. I want you to know that too. People need to understand that we're being honest here. We're telling you that the work of the ACLJ continues. It continues in a strong way. We just talked about earlier that Pastor Saw, who you heard about years and years ago, and look, sometimes you got to go quiet on some of these topics. You may go, hey, well, you guys haven't talked about that in a number of years. There's sometimes a reason, and a lot of that reason isn't necessarily something that can be public.
I know Comfort on Rumble, that watches daily, has been a frequent follower of the Saw story and has asked for updates many times. And many times we can't give updates because of the work that goes on behind the scenes to make sure that Pastor Saw stays alive and that we can accomplish that goal.
Sometimes these victories are in stages. So yes, he is now free from prison, but is still currently not able to return to his family. We're working through that as much as we possibly can. Will, you want to continue taking calls? You got something you want to bring up?
I did want to get Professor Hutchison's take on the Fannie Willis claim that the train is moving forward, and that also she said that she did nothing wrong, is not embarrassed by anything, nor does her reputation need any rehabilitation. Just what are your thoughts on that in light of the fact that there is an appeal on that ruling that will be coming any day?
Well, my view is Fannie Willis has often been wrong, but never in doubt. And so I think if you look at her own assessment of her work, her character, and her commitment to ethics, I think it is clear beyond question that she is open to all sorts of ethical charges, including potential misconduct with Wade, the special counsel. But I also think her assessment of when and if this trial moves forward is also likely to be wrong, because it will likely be held up on appeal after appeal. And I don't think that this particular case will go to trial within the next 6 months or perhaps the next year. And so I think Trump and others will appeal Judge McAfee's decision. Why? Because on its face, there is both the appearance of impropriety and the odor of mendacity. And whatever Fani Willis says, she cannot remove it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a question that's come in from Tim in California online, too. And a lot of people have had this question. And Jordan was able to address it earlier as well. But go ahead, Tim. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call. How can we get Bonnie Willis to resign? She is a disgrace to the legal profession. I think one of the worst things that ever happened.
I don't know if we're going to get to a resignation point of view, but I guess the initial question was, what can you do to hasten potentially a departure? Where are we at with that?
Well, I mean, I'll pass along to the professor over here, but based off of her comments with the train moving forward, she's not going to resign for any reason.
I don't think that's happy. Why would you at this point?
Exactly.
I don't think she will resign. In fact, I think she will double down in her efforts to try to move this particular case forward. However, the Georgia Court of Appeals and perhaps the Georgia Supreme Court will have a lot to say about it. That's number one. But number two, there are many pending motions before Judge McAfee that have to be dealt with. And I think by the time he deals with these motions, we could be well into midsummer, in addition to the appeals that are pending before the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals. So I think Fani Willis may indeed be powerless to move the train forward as she suggests she's going to do.
Absolutely. Let's go take this last call of the day. Forrest is calling in California. Forrest, welcome.
I'm a monthly supporter of ACLJ.
Thank you.
So my question is, if President Trump loses his case in the New York case, would it be possible, even though it's illegal, would it be possible for Letitia James to seize, for instance, a $1 billion property, and instead of selling it for $1 billion and giving roughly half to the government, half back to Trump so he could use it, to sell it for intentionally sell it for fire sale prices, like for $20 million, and then Trump would still owe money, get nothing, left.
So there we got what you're saying.
So what the question is could essentially the attorney general there, when they seize the assets, devalue them with their sales. To cover the judgment against him, seize more properties than would be necessary, but undersell them. Professor Hutchinson, I believe that there would need to be some sort of third-party mechanisms that come into play here. It's not just Letitia James putting these up for auction on her own.
I think that is correct. However, we should never underestimate the willingness of Letitia James to engage in essentially a fraud on the court. And so I think the Trump lawyers should remain eternally vigilant, because I think Letitia James and her co-conspirators are likely to do everything possible to inflict pain and agony on Donald Trump. Having said that, Donald Trump, by the time this case is fully moved through all of the various appeals, he will likely have the cash with which to basically pay off the alleged debt in terms of what he owes. Although a distinguished observer, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has argued that cash is insufficient and that what we need is real property. AOC is distinguished by her obtuseness, and some would say economic stupidity, but that's another issue.
Well, I think that's a perfect place to start wrapping up this broadcast. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, I'm going to encourage you right now. This is my last pitch of the day here. This is the last Life and Liberty Drive. We only got 4 days left here, folks. So just join us right now. Either make a single donation or support the work of the ACLJ. If you're brand new to this broadcast, by the way, I'm not going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to subscribe, stay tuned, go to ACLJ.org for all the incredible free content. We don't provide anything under a paywall. You don't need to become a member to get our content, but we can't obviously have the great legal minds like you just heard. We can't have incredible writers, incredible video team. You can't have all of this whole thing without you. because we're able to provide that content for free. We're able to get your point of view out there at absolutely no cost to the consumer. But obviously, pay people. We need to be able to support things. Go to ACLJ.org. Do that today. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. We'll be back tomorrow.